Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She once had a fluffy stuffed crocodile toy with wonky eyes called Crocodoodle, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today I'm really excited because I have a double interview today with Janet and Hannah from Fodify Foods, and they are qualified dietitians who have also created a food company. Now, I've never interviewed dietitians who have created a food company, so this is exciting for me, and we're going to be talking all about FODMAPs, free from food, and also their food journeys. So welcome, Janet and Hannah.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. So one of the first questions I like to ask, and I'm going to ask you both, is tell me about your free from journey so far. How did you get involved in the world of free from? How did you get into the world of FODMAPs?
So me and Hannah have both worked as dietitians for probably just over 8 years. We actually first met when we were studying to become dietitians. And so throughout our careers, we've both worked with patients with allergies or intolerances. So when working with these people, it's been really important for us to know about all the different products that are available, what's suitable, what's not. And so we heard a lot from patients saying what they did want, what they couldn't find. And it's made us more aware of actually what's needed. So we've both worked with people who have IBS subsequently trained in FODMAPs. Mm-hmm. And so we basically both became much more aware of the need for FODMAP friendly foods.
Yeah, I think we both have a bit of personal experience with like food intolerance, and I have a lot of food allergies myself as well.
Okay.
As does my son, so it's kind of that personal experience. Mm-hmm. and need for those kind of products and awareness of different issues around that.
Okay, can you talk me through like which allergies you have and your experience of them so far, like your personal ones?
Yeah, so I have had a peanut allergy for as long as I remember, so since I was quite young. And as I, through my teenage years, developed more allergies. So it was other legumes, so things like soya, chickpeas, lentils, and peas. Yeah. And then as I probably about 18, then developed more food intolerances on top of that. So I have IBS and am quite intolerant to things like onion, garlic, and have a bit of a wheat intolerance as well. So that's where the kind of personal experience of FODMAPs comes in, I guess, as well.
Yeah. Wow. So you've...
And then my son has completely different allergies from me, to make it even more complicated, which is apparently quite common because he's allergic to the things that he's been exposed to. So he's not allergic to peanuts because he's never been around them. He's outgrown a lot of them, but he was allergic to milk, egg, the nuts that I can eat. So things like cashews, salmon and beef. So he has quite a few, but he's outgrown most of those now, which is really good.
Oh, that makes life a little easier at home.
Definitely.
Okay. And so I know I specifically actually want to talk about FODMAPs because it's something I haven't talked about a lot on the podcast, because my background is I have anaphylaxis to chewing groundnuts and gluten doesn't sit well with me. So a lot of the mums I've talked to, they might be on FODMAP, but they're primarily allergies and maybe a bit of IBS. So can you give me a simple explanation of what FODMAPs are for those people who wouldn't necessarily know?
Yeah. So the term FODMAP, so FODMAP stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. Obviously, that's the complicated way of explaining it. But essentially, FODMAPs are a group of carbohydrate foods. So they are fermentable carbohydrates that are not very well absorbed by your bowel, which can cause some symptoms for susceptible people. Mm-hmm. And they're in things like things like wheat, dairy, and certain fruits and vegetables. So things like onions and garlic and apples. And the diet came about from Australia. So about a decade ago, a group of researchers and dietitians found that if you take out this group of foods from people's diets when they have IBS, about 75% of them will feel better. So they'll get some improvement in their symptoms. So things like bloating, pain, so cramps, things like diarrhea and sometimes constipation as well can all improve.
Yeah.
And that when you reintroduce the food groups one by one, you can identify specific triggers and then work towards having a diet where you know what you can and can't tolerate. And often we find you've got different thresholds to certain FODMAPs. So it's not necessarily that you're on the low FODMAP diet forever, but you know which specific FODMAPs are your triggers. So for some people it might be wheat or onion or you know, specific groups that that you just have to avoid completely or restrict.
Okay. And then how did you both get into it? I know you've had specific experience, but how did you both get into the whole looking at FODMAPs professionally, I guess?
I think we've both worked with IBS patients for years, and it's something that I think as doctors, as dietitians, it's been really difficult to manage IBS. I think a lot of the time in the past, what we've been doing is more managing the symptoms of IBS rather than actually treating the root cause. So how I got into FODMAP, so I was working as a gastro dietitian in Berkshire. And as part of my job, I went on the low FODMAP training course for dietitians, which they do at King's College in London. And on that course, I learned all about FODMAPs, all about the concept and how to use it with the patients that I was seeing in clinic. And that's how I became aware of the diet. And I started telling lots of patients about it, started putting people on the diet and seeing how they felt after trying it. And that success rate was really, really good. I mean, in the research, it says that following a low FODMAP diet can help, you know, 75% of IBS sufferers. And I was finding that I was getting the same sort of success rates in clinic. So for me, it was brilliant because all these patients were coming to me and were actually managing to help improve symptoms. So
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's really, really good.
That's fantastic. And then how did you both meet at, no, you met before this course?
Yeah, so we met back in, gosh, it would have been 2004. God, that's a long time ago. we met in 2004 when we were studying to first become dietitians. So we both actually studied at King's College for our degrees. And that's where we first met. But actually, it wasn't until... when was it? The summer of 2015. That was when we met up over a coffee, started talking about FODMAPs, as you do. And that's when we came up with the idea of FODify.
Yeah, I think by then we'd been working with patients with IBS for probably why I did the FODMAP course in 2011. So we had quite a bit of experience between us and kind of things to chat about. And so we shared kind of our... the difficulties or the things that patients are saying to us and saying you know, about different products and the difficulties of the diet. So,
oh, that's great. So let's start talking about FODify foods. Do you want to talk me through that coffee? How did you come up with the idea? Like, what made you start? Like, how did you start experimenting with things? Just talk me through.
So I kind of, I'd had thoughts about it previously. I thought, you know, patients are asking for these products. All the patients that I'd seen were saying, you know, we're always having to cook from scratch, which obviously is good, but there's not always the time to do it. So patients were saying, we want foods that are easy. What cooking sources can we buy? How can we add flavor to our food? Because it can be quite bland. You know, they were asking for what they could buy. And actually there wasn't anything out there that I could recommend them. And so just as time went by, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be brilliant if there was a company that made low FODMAP foods? And so that's we had this coffee. We started talking about our experiences, and I said, just sort of probably more in jest than anything else, I said, oh, you know, we should set up a food company. Well, that might have been one of the best or worst things I've ever said, because that sort of led to us thinking, actually, let's do this. Because I remember Hannah turning around and saying, yeah, let's do it, and I was like, what?
I was very much in a say yes phase in my life. I was like, opportunity, you know, say yes to everything, like let's start something that we could be really amazing. So you've got this great idea, you're not going to start doing it, like, but let's, why don't we just go for it and try.
And we did, and it's been great ever since. It's been hard work, but it's been really, really, really good fun, actually.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did you start coming up with, well, tell me which products you have, and then tell me how you started coming up with products. Where did you start?
So I'll go through the products, and then Hannah can tell you a bit about sort of how we came up with them. So at the moment we have two cooking sauces. So we have our curry sauce, which is a tomato based curry sauce. It's quite mild. And we suggest that if people do want it hotter, they can add their own chili. But it's more like a paste, and so you can add your own chosen milk to it. I mean, coconut milk mixed into it makes a really good tikka masala style sauce. So that's our curry sauce. We have a tomato pasta sauce, which has got some Mediterranean vegetables in there as well. So it's got some courgette and aubergine, both of which are safe on the low FODMAP diet. And then we also have three spice mixes. So they're a blend of herbs and spices, but without any of the onion and garlic. So at the moment we have a fajita spice, we have a Thai spice, and the last one is our Moroccan spice. And so what I like about our spices is we don't add any fillers to them. It's literally just pure herbs and spices. There's no flour or corn flour or, you know, all the things that you can find added in ones you can buy in the shops. So yeah, they're all available on our website, and that's what we have at the moment. I mean, we're always thinking about how to expand the range. But at the moment they're our core products.
Yeah. Well, they sound, I know I've been trying out the spice mixes, and I've put, I think I did a really quick meal, which was just roasted vegetables and roasted chicken. So I put some of the, I think it was the Moroccan spice over the top of the chicken. That was really great. My boyfriend approved, so, and he did no idea that I hadn't completely made it myself, which I usually do with allergies. So no, he approved without knowing anything. So that's good.
I mean, personally, I think the fajita mix is the best one. I'm a bit of a Mexican food person, so I love the fajita, but yeah, I'd say the same. My boyfriend can't even tell the difference.
Well, that is good. So anyone out there, you've got definitely some good products you've got to try out. Okay, so tell me, how did you start playing around in the kitchen? Like, how did you come up with your final products?
Yeah, so I think we probably each took ownership for one of the products. So Janet was really keen to find, like, the best pasta sauce recipe that didn't have any onion and garlic, and we could still pack loads of flavor in there. So she was, it just started off literally each of us in our own kitchen playing around with the, you know, making the sauces. So she was making the pasta sauce, I was making a curry sauce. And I think she's more of a pasta person, I'm more of a curry person, but I hope so, that's fair. I think the thing I always really struggled with on with my own intolerances is a good curry. I really love takeaway curry, but it always makes me so ill. So I've played around a lot in the kitchen anyway, trying to figure out, like, how to replicate a good Indian curry. so I felt like I had a good recipe. It was just about trying to, you know, figure out something that could just work as a sauce on its own.
And so that, because I don't know if everyone who's listening will know FODMAP. So what are you excluding from these sauces and spice mixes? Just a quick list, because we've got flour and wheat, anything dairy, anything onion and garlic. Are there any others that you're specifically excluding?
So they're the main ones. We do have to be a little bit careful with the amount of tomatoes that we put in things. So there is a limit on things like tinned tomatoes if we're using tinned tomatoes. Onions and garlic and things like celery as well are the main things.
Okay, and is that because they're higher in like the FODMAP sugars?
Yeah, so they're higher in the specific types of fermentable carbohydrates.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so, I mean, fun. From my perspective, trying to make a good pasta sauce without using too many tomatoes is a bit tricky because obviously that's pretty much all there is in a tomato sauce. So that's why we've added the extra veg in. Also, it does give more flavour, more texture as well. Mm-hmm. But having that aubergine and the courgette in there actually helps to keep the tomato content within the safe limits. And that's why also the jars, we have to make sure that they're a certain serving size per jar. So it might seem, you know, there are smaller jars and there are a smaller number of portions in there, maybe than some of the shop-bought ones. But that's because we have to be so careful with that tomato content.
Oh, that's great. So you've really got your patients and your customers in mind when you're putting together these products.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we're dietitians, I think that just gives us sort of an extra insight into the people who are buying our products, because we know, obviously, we know a lot about food. That's what our profession is. But we know we want the flavor as well as making sure it is suitable. So I mean, that was probably a big part of formulating the recipes, was not just avoiding certain things but having to make sure that everything that was in there when mixed together still worked as a whole. So I mean, I'm really proud of our products because I think we've made really good sauces actually with a lot of limitations. But it means that our customers can buy them confident that what they're buying is suitable to use on the diet.
That's great. That's absolutely great. So we're coming almost to the end of the interview. So what are each of you, your top three tips for someone who has IBS or is needing to go on a low FODMAP diet? What are your like top three tips for someone who's new to it?
I'd say one of the first things to do is probably, you know, have a chat to your doctor and make sure you've had the right test done beforehand. So we always want to make sure people have had a celiac blood test, just to make sure that, you know, that's ruled out, and then go to your doctor to ask for a referral to a dietitian. So the dietitian is, you know, going to be a really key person who can support you through the diet. So it's usually a staged process, so at least 4 weeks of strict elimination followed by some reintroduction. So it's really good to get some kind of proper help to guide you through that. Another top tip is making sure that you're planning, so you first of all planning the right time to do it, so that it's not right before Christmas or right before you go on holiday, but also that you can kind of have a think about, you know, the types of food you're going to eat, and spend some time, you know, using up what's in your cupboard and getting ready kind of like mentally, but also that you've got the right things in stock.
Great. And is that for both of you, or Janet, do you
I was thinking I've got three tips that are probably a bit more kind of practical about actually following the diet itself. Once
Perfect.
So I think Hannah's point of planning is kind of essential. And I think along maybe a bit more specific to that, I mean, I would say always make sure that you've got suitable snacks in the cupboard. Always have something that you can just grab on the go, or if you're feeling a bit hungry before a meal time, because following the low FODMAP diet, I'd say it's, if you're suddenly really hungry, it can be quite difficult to find something easily. So just make sure you've got snacks available. From a busy person doing long days at work, and if you've got kids at home and that sort of thing, make sure you've got easy meal options. So it's lovely to be able to make really complicated meals, and adding, you know, 50 ingredients into the same thing, but actually some days you do just need something really simple. So try and make sure that you do have an easy option for maybe a couple of days in the week, so that if you have had a really long day, you've got something available. And then probably the last thing is make sure that you know good resources and who will help support you through the process, because it can be quite a tricky process. And as Hannah says, obviously having a dietitian, having the doctor behind you is good, but actually having people who are going through the diet at the same time as you can really, really help. So that if you're having problems with, you know, can I have this, or I'm having a really bad day, what should I do? Make sure that you've got something that will support you through that bad day. So looking online, having a look on Facebook for groups and that sort of thing, that can really help you through the process as well.
That is fantastic. So for anyone who wants to know more about Fodify Foods and buy your products, connect with you, where can they do so?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram. So our handle is at Fodify Foods, or our website is fodify.co.uk.
Great. And for anyone listening, all of this information, all these links will be in the show notes. So you'll, if you can't remember it right now, just go to the website and go to the www.eatallergysafe.com and then /episode and the number of the episode, and you'll be able to get all the links. So this is fantastic. Do either of you have anything else you want to add or just mention before we wrap up?
No, just if, like, we're always keen to like hear new ideas for products or content for our website. So if people have got questions or ideas for what things they want, then just please do get in touch with us.
Yeah, Fantastic. Exactly. We're happy to help.
Great. And yeah, I definitely encourage people to get in touch with them. They're lovely. They will answer your questions. And you can also comment on the show notes post for this. So yeah. Thank you so much, Hannah and Janet, for joining me and sharing your journey as well as all about FODMAPs.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been great to chat.
It's been great to talk to you.
So that was Janet and Hannah from Fodify Foods. So Janet and Hannah were really lovely, and they actually sent me some samples to try. You might have heard when we were talking that they were talking about the different products, and they did indeed send me the curry sauce, the pasta sauce, and the spice mixes to try out. And I have been trying them out. I have tried all the spice mixes and they are really good. I have really enjoyed using them, and they have been so great when I've been rushed off my feet, really busy, but I just needed to throw a quick meal together, and they were just so simple to use. And with the show notes, which are coming up with this podcast episode, you will be able to have links to my review and my recipes that I've come up with and the things that I was just cooking on a day-to-day basis, just throwing together. So that all those will be in the show notes, along with where you can find Fodify Foods, and they will be at eatallergysafe.com/episode and the number 18. So talking about recipes, as you may have heard, I am working on a couple recipe books. So the first one that I'm working on is 30 Dinners for 30 Days. And currently I'm editing that, and I'm hoping to get this published, or the ebook published, really soon. So my goal is to have it done by the end of March. So I'll keep you updated on that. And this is all about 30 dinners you can use, like really hearty stews and soups, and also some quick meals, things you can do to impress, just, you know, really good family meals, or just meals you can share with friends that is going to make everyone go, oh, please give me some more. So that's really excited about that. The second book I am working on is a chocolate recipe book. Now, those of you who are already on the email list, you actually have the first part of this book, so the Essential Chocolate Guide, where I talk you through how to work with dairy-free chocolate, both dark milk or dairy-free milk and dairy-free white chocolate. And I talk about how to go about melting it and working with it. And this has come through when I used to make products, actually. So this recipe book, or the start of this recipe book, is expanding, and I have some truffle recipes. I have this delicious chocolate torte recipe that I started experimenting with over New Year's Eve and fed to my family, who were very appreciative. So those are going to be going in the recipe book, and many more just full of chocolate. I'm currently going to be working on a white chocolate and caramel kind of cheesecake tort thing. I'll have a proper name for you at some point, which has come out of failed millionaire shortbread. So watch this space and I will keep you updated. Just before I go, I am looking for you. I am looking to hear your allergy stories. So as you know, each week I have guests on to talk about their allergy journeys. And I want to hear some of your stories. You're the people who are listening. You are the ones who also have stories. And I'd really love to hear from you. I'm looking for people to come on the podcast, share their allergy journey. Have you, you know, had a reaction and how did you get over that? Have you had a breakthrough? You know, you got your parents-in-law or a friend to understand finally about your allergy. Or was it just like a personal victory? Did you manage to finally talk to a restaurant? Or did you get up the courage and the confidence to really assert your ownership of your allergy? I want to hear from you. Or do you have someone who you know's done this? Do you want to nominate someone? I want to hear about that too. So please, please, please send me an email and you can reach me at admin@eatallergysafe.com. That's admin spelled A-D-M-I-N at eatallergysafe.com. Or if you're on the email list, just reply to any of the emails I send out and you can reach me, or you can do so through the website contact page. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear your nominations or your stories. Please get in touch and I'd love to have you on the podcast. So next week we have another fantastic episode and we'll be talking to one of our overseas allergy family. So I'll leave that there and I'll speak to you next week. Bye.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make a crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.